know that the world is going through a tough time right now economically. We see a lot of businesses scaling down, but not us. We're going to put on the biggest, most expensive, elaborate live show that's ever been done. We're going to make spending money metal.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Amen, brother. Coming to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome to the final, only about 20 minutes of today's broadcast, because once again, Jay Inslee has scheduled a 2:30 press conference. Yes, it is a grand conspiracy against me and my radio show being coordinated at the highest levels of state government. It is the first effort to silence me by state government. Hey, Nicole, I was thinking about something this morning.
The first effort?
Yeah, exactly. The first in the latest volley against us. But, you know, we're in an economic crisis as a society. The radio industry is as well. And do we still want to carry all these press conferences? Because I have listeners begging me not to carry the Inslee, because they'd rather hear the radio show. And we lose revenues when we carry them. Should we have a talk with management? Which is my way of saying, should you talk to management and see if?
We've had that discussion, and it kind of is the listeners and us. So I mean, we're not required to take them. It just feels like when a is going to happen, which I think it's going to be about moving forward, right? That's when we decide to take him. But I know that he's going to have another, health expert or somebody there, and we can cut out for that. We don't have to take all of it.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to have some discretion. But I know if he says it, only because this is the economic lifeblood of all the unemployed in our state, all the business owners, and reopening business is absolutely critical. And so I'm hopeful that that's something that Jay Inslee will be addressing. But boy, these things are dull. Except yesterday, Jay Inslee did say the single most cowardly statement I have ever heard a politician utter. And I talked about this at the beginning of the show today. I have to bring it up again, because this is this statement is a level of cowardice unlike any we have ever witnessed around here. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
Now, before I get to all that serious, heavy stuff in our state, I do have one kind of fun story, cool story. A 20-year-old kid back in Pittsburgh, Brian Bartles, he was out rioting over the weekend. And one of the things that Brian did, he's just this skinny, runty little white kid. One of the things that Brian did was he decided to torch a police car. He also is a member of Antifa.
Oh, somebody is busting up the cop car. No. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? It is not black people. It is not black people. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't care. You're not helping us.
Look at this.
So skinny, runty little Brian, one of those Antifa kids who want to hijack the people who are out there to protest and demonstrate for more social justice. But now we get to the happy part of this story. Brian's parents were watching television. Brian's parents saw their runty little kid busting up a police car. And you know what the parents did the next day, Monday morning?
Mr. Bartles, do you have anything to say about what happened on Saturday?
They escorted their 20-year-old son to the police station and turned him in to the cops.
Mr. Bartles, do you have anything to say about what happened on Saturday? Anything you want to say?
Why destroy that police car?
Do you have anything to say?
really, Brian, you were such a tough man the day before. You were such a tough guy when you're smashing the police car, when you were hijacking the people who were trying to accomplish something productive. You were the big guy, weren't you, Brian? But then the next day, with mommy and daddy doing the right thing and turning you into the police, all of a sudden you were just a quiet little shy flower, Brian. You didn't have anything to say? Why didn't you put your fist in the air and scream something horrible about the cops for the TV cameras? Huh? You're doing it the day before, big man. Why didn't you do it in front of the TV cameras when mommy and daddy were turning you in? And that's the thing. These people are cowards. You know, they're hiding behind their masks, which, by the way, Antifa was doing that long before anybody had ever heard the word coronavirus. They're hiding behind their masks, and they're really big when they have the protection of anonymity. But, man, you take that away, and they're exactly what you heard in that second clip. They're just little punks. All right, let's get to the most cowardly statement I have ever heard from a politician, and it happened to come from our governor, Jay Inslee, at his press conference yesterday. So the big effort now, and this is where I think what everybody is calling the peaceful protesters are encouraging something that would be incredibly dangerous for our region, because they want to defund the police. They want no more money. Some of them want $0 for SPD. And I'm not making this up. They want complete chaos and anarchy on the streets. This woman talked to Q13 News.
You have the power to create actual actionable change. I'm calling on the Seattle City Council to ban the use of tear gas, defund the police, and break ties with SPD, and fight the power of the police union wherever possible.
They want the city government to break all ties with Seattle police. In other words, they want anarchy. They want an absolute criminal dominated. I mean, can you imagine if we didn't have cops smashing windows and looting every business? Wouldn't be a horrible once in several year event. That'd be every 5 minutes. There are no cops. Be a lot of armed citizens. I guarantee you that. Here's Cairo 7
News.
The
biggest change they're calling for? Defund Seattle police by 50%. That's about $200 million.
I think it's not out of hate for the police, but it's out of wanting justice.
Okay. That if we dramatically cut the number of cops, and again, I have to give you the stats. If you were listening at noon, you're going to hear the same numbers again. For the people who have tuned in the last couple of hours, people have to be informed because most in the media are afraid right now. They're afraid to speak out. They're afraid of how it's going to be perceived. But the righteous, peaceful protesters who have wanted to make a statement, a demonstration of justice for George Floyd, God bless them. Protests and demonstrations are how people who feel they have no voice can be heard. But now, you know, we were drawing that distinction, the peaceful protesters, and then you have the criminal rioter who were breaking windows and looting. But now the peaceful protesters are pushing a message that would be incredibly dangerous for our city. And it would turn the city over to criminals. Seattle police can't investigate property crimes these days. They don't have the manpower because we have more property crimes than any place in the United States. Boston and Seattle both have about 700,000 people. Boston's city budget is about half that of Seattle's. Because the accused child rapist former mayor, Ed Murray, he added thousands of bureaucrats to the Seattle city payroll. And because of that, Boston has 2,200 cops on the street. Seattle has 1,400. Seattle has far more crime than Boston because when you don't have enough cops to police the criminals, you have more crime. And now we've got an active movement. One of the people who is pushing a very dangerous message is Nikita Oliver, who's been a longtime community advocate.
One of the major demands of our movement right now is to defund and demilitarize the police. Seattle Police Department is unleashing flashbangs, mace, tear gas. They're running into protesters with their bikes. They have very large sticks. They're wearing riot gear. And so the only option is to begin to defund and demilitarize. We call for right now a 50% defund of the Seattle Police Department, and we demand that those dollars be invested in community-based alternatives to incarceration, community-based alternatives for public safety.
We already have the lowest incarceration rate in the country. They want 50% fewer cops out there. Boston has 2,200. They want Seattle to have 700. Less than a third of what Boston has. By the way, Boston had just a fraction of the rioting and looting and mayhem that Seattle had because they had more cops able to defend their city over the weekend. Okay, so with that as the backdrop, Jay Inslee was asked yesterday at his press conference about the most important issue of the day. Mr. Governor, in the largest city in your state, there is an active effort being pushed by the protesters and by politicians to defund the police, anywhere from eliminating the police to cutting them to 50%. And Jay Inslee was asked about that, and his answer was the most cowardly response I have ever heard from a politician.
You ask about Seattle, I've got enough challenges with the state of Washington without delving into Seattle politics. So I guess I'll defer that particular question.
He wouldn't answer it. Because if he says, yes, let's defund the police, every normal thinking person who are saying the police can't be overrun, we can't allow the criminals to win, would say, well, Jay Inslee has turned into a radical. And if he said, no, we can't defund the police in our largest city, the city would get taken over by criminals every second of every day. And if he said that, the left would cancel culture Jay Inslee. And so instead of taking a stand on the single most dominant issue in the state of Washington right now, Jay Inslee said he wouldn't talk about it. He said it's a Seattle issue. Seattle's the biggest city in your state, Governor. He said that he wants to focus on the state. Yeah, because that, and I will say, he has a laser focus on only talking about state business.
I was like, why are you so obsessed with me?
This bully, the Trump administration, President Trump, the president said, President Donald Trump, he was the person who started this. We got a President Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. Mr. Trump, current occupant of the White House.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump does not belong in the White House.
Biggest threat to the security of the United States, Donald Trump.
My plan to build a wall around Washington to keep Donald Trump out didn't work.
We could certainly use a little more leadership.
I think you've heard enough. So sometimes you will comment on things that don't have to do with state government, but the biggest issue of our time, the biggest issue in the more than 7.5 years that you've been governor.
Now you ask about Seattle, I've got another
enough challenges with the state of Washington without delving into Seattle politics, so I guess I'll defer that particular question.
That's not leadership. He's afraid to give an honest answer because of the political ramifications of it. That is cowardice right there. And it's dangerous because with your silence, you are encouraging what they are calling for, eliminating the police. You are encouraging a future, and maybe a very, very near future, if this radical notion takes root, that would lead to absolute destruction on a regular basis, like we saw last weekend. It's that's a level of cowardice I've never heard before in politics. And let's see, what else did Jay have yesterday for us at his press conference?
We know that we have had improved training of our officers to de-escalate so that we can reduce, we can put oil in troubled waters rather than gasoline.
Huh? Is that a good thing? They're going to put oil on water? I thought he was the environmental guy. I thought he was the guy who wanted to save the planet. And now his plan is, let's put oil on water. What was he? What was he trying to say? We're putting. Yeah, let me listen to this again. This is the first time I've played this clip for you.
We know that we have had improved training of our officers to de-escalate so that we can reduce, we can put oil in troubled waters rather than gasoline.
So they're pumping a big old Exxon Valdez into our city right now. Okay. All right, Governor, at least you're honest with that one. And then somebody asked him, you've been talking for 3 months about how we all have to stay inside. We can't walk on the beach or sit on the beach. We can't sit in a park. We can't walk within 3 feet of our friends in a park or on the beach. And now you say, but tens of thousands in downtown Seattle, in the midst of the health crisis that you've been paralyzing our economy and our people with for the last 3 months, suddenly you say, but that's wonderful. That's fine. That's okay. Why is that, Mr. Governor?
With thousands of people in the streets across the state, here in Olympia, up to Seattle, in Spokane, we have not heard much concern from you regarding social distancing. A lot of folks in the state can't even go out and get a haircut right now, but you have seen the images of people out on the streets, and there's talk of tear gas, perhaps.
Okay, and I shouldn't have cut that one off. But Trump said, well, they have a First Amendment right. That was just a mistake, me cutting that one off. And I can't jump back into it now. But he said, these protesters, that's their First Amendment right. 3 weeks ago, people said, how can you still ban people from gathering in church? Because that is a First Amendment right that we have.
Well, we specifically in our order made sure that people of gatherings of any type, including religious gatherings, can continue to gather electronically as we are doing in so many contexts. And
why not tell the protesters to gather electronically like you told Christians and Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and people of all faiths in your state? Are we still in a health crisis or are we not? Was the health crisis you told us about 2 weeks ago? And what Jay Inslee specifically said is the First Amendment exists for gathering a church, but in a health crisis as governor, I can trump the First Amendment. And now he doesn't care about that. So are we in a health crisis or not? And that's where I say, if we have a pandemic spike in the next 2 weeks, then Jay Inslee, for purely political reasons, was saying, oh, yeah, I was encouraging people to stand shoulder to shoulder 10,000 strong in the middle of COVID-19. And then you are responsible with your assent for a spike. If there is no spike, then it will prove what skeptics like I have been saying for a couple of months, that the health crisis is dramatically overstated. The shutdown of our economy is not for health reasons, but for political reasons. And either way, we're going to know in the next few days and couple of weeks exactly what Jay Inslee's all about as the leader of this state. But I think we found out everything we need to know when he would not comment on the effort to defund the police in Seattle. Shameful, cowardly, and not the kind of leadership we need in a time where our leaders need to speak with a very strong voice. And that is your Big Lead this week.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Well, hopefully he'll give me fodder for tomorrow's show. Governor Jay Inslee, live from Olympia. Get the latest on shutdown. And we'll be careful not just let it run incessantly, I hope. Okay, that's straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, we are waiting for a Jay Inslee press conference down in Olympia. Jenny Durkin just finished a presser, and in it she was talking about how, and they announced this yesterday, a couple weeks ago, they said they were going to ask the feds to, they didn't need to do the federal oversight of Seattle police anymore because they were so confident that they'd had some reforms that had been effective. And now, based on the events of the last few days, they said, we're going to ask for federal oversight again. It's just such weak leadership in this city. Everybody, whether it's Jay Inslee, Jenny Durkin, Carmen Best, they twist in the wind. Whichever way it blows, that is their opinion. And as you know, I don't live my life like that. And I don't shape my opinions based on what I think people want to hear. And that's been very, being honest has been very successful. And I truly do not understand this about politicians. I don't understand, because if you were thinking about politics, you probably had some notion of what public service was. And you probably had some idealism about, you know, what you were going to bring to it. And then it just corrodes the integrity and the souls of people in politics to the point where Jay Inslee refused to comment on the dominant issue in the state of Washington, the effort to defund police. And when you hear some of the things, I mean, just the way that Carmen Best and Jay Inslee are talking about our cops, even for the one brief moment when Jay Inslee wanted to say, seemed like he was going to say something nice about the police, but it's always followed immediately with a but. There's never anything unqualified positive. And cops don't get into the job for some kind of managerial affirmation of what they do, but they're also human beings. And they're human beings who have a really tough job. And, you know, they have people with their middle finger in their face just screaming, bleep you, over and over and over again. And the cops have been just standing there stoically. But those are human beings behind those face shields. And here was Inslee. He couldn't say anything nice about the cops without an immediate, I mean, he put this but look, so quick, so that nobody would think that he was saying something nice about cops without also adding something negative.
Look, I think we all understand that officers in these situations do have really tough jobs. They have bottles being thrown at them. Chief Batiste told me that people are now shining laser beams in our officers' eyes, trying to injure their eyesight. So we know it's a real tough job, but look, we have to have high levels of standards.
We know it's a tough job, but, and you know, he was talking about this state patrol trooper who was caught on video on Saturday when he was talking to a bunch of fellow cops in the midst of the violence and rioting breaking out. And it's really hard to hear what he says, but this is the audio that somebody was able to capture from a window. Okay, it's don't kill him, but hit back hard, which I would assume means you cannot cower. I mean, these are organized, and they knew by that point, they command knew the night before that these were organized, what I consider to be terrorist criminals, whether it's Antifa or whoever else was behind this. In Bellevue, it was criminal gangs, as identified by Police Chief Milette. But these were organized, well-coordinated, practiced, seasoned criminals taking over our cities. And so a Washington State Patrol trooper said, you know, don't kill him, but hit back hard. Words, 2 seconds of words in the midst of chaos and rioting and madness. And Jay Inslee spoke about that.
Last night, there emerged a video of our state patrol instructing officers on how to respond to what was a tense and potentially dangerous situation. The language that he used was not in keeping with what we expect of our state patrol officers. The state patrol very promptly took responsibility and apologized for that misuse of language.
Don't kill him, but hit back hard. And at a press conference yesterday, because many in the media and certainly our politicians, they have just developed, for purely political reasons, they've just developed, we got to just be anti-cop. Words are words. And is there any condemnation, Governor? Would you have anything to say about, you know, the guy who threw a cinder block in Seattle's cop face and that cop's fighting to save the vision in his right eye? I mean, this is insanity because of pure politics. But Jay Inslee could not comment on the dominant issue in our city because he was scared yesterday. And I'm not going to be able to tell you or bring you on my show what he has to say today because, yes, just got word the Inslee presser has been pushed to 3 o'clock, which means Tom and Curly have to deal with the whole Jay Inslee nonsense today. It means I have another segment of great stuff straight ahead. We got more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Jay Inslee's press conference delayed until 3 o'clock. They said, Tom and Curly, they're just not bringing it right now. So we're just going to, let's take out Tom Curly. Let's save the rest of Monson's show. It was a rare show of kindness to me from the governor today, this afternoon. But here's the thing, though. He's wrong. I've been listening. Tom and Curly are bringing it. They're bringing it strong these days. So they'll have analysis and debate, no doubt, after Inslee speaks at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Then you got the president of the United States, Donald Trump. I don't know if you've heard about this, but the real estate developer in New York. He got elected president about 3.5 years ago. And I know. Nobody covered the story. Anyway, he's talking now because he has been one who has said we have to get tougher and stronger against these rioters, these criminals who have been running through the cities. And he compared himself on Fox News to liberal mayors and governors like Jay Inslee and Jenny Durkin.
Very interesting with these liberal mayors, liberal Democrats, and governors, how they're tough as hell on keeping people locked up in their houses. But when it comes to ending the crime and the stores being broken into and the looting, And by the way, people being hit over the back of the head, the man in Dallas that was kicked unmercifully, I never saw anything like it. He's being kicked and beaten up and probably going to die. You look at all of this stuff, the woman who gets hit by a 2x4, nobody ever mentions that. But you look at what goes on. But the liberal mayors, they keep you locked up. But when it comes to the looting and everything, they're very weak on crime. But I think they're going to lose an election because they are weak on crime. I watched Joe Biden talking about crime the other day. He's so weak on crime, you'll never stop the problem. And I stop it. Look, I stopped it in Minnesota, Minneapolis, real fast. We insisted on the National Guard. It's up. It was brutal. They were, as you know, we said, took over the police department, took over the precinct. They took it over. Everybody, the cops were running. Those cops don't run. They were told to leave. They should never happen. That was a horrible signal. Super liberal mayor. He was crying. He was crying. Isn't that nice? But the mayor can't cry in cases like that. So we have a very different attitude on things. I am law and order. They're not.
You know, it is a fair question. I know that people who don't like the president just, you know, have a knee-jerk hatred for everything he says. But even if you don't like the president, would you acknowledge that that's a fair question? Why did Jay Inslee and Jenny Durkin care more about whether I get a haircut than they seem to care about heritage Seattle businesses having windows smashed and cleaned out by criminals? It doesn't make any sense because they're operating from a place of illogic these days. But would things get better if we dump Trump and make Joe Biden our first octogenarian president?
Well, I heard Biden talking about systemic racism in the police department today. And I said, a very simple question. He's been there for 43 years. Why didn't he do something about it? I've only been doing this for 3.5 years. He's been there for 43, 44 years. He was there 8 years as vice president. He had plenty of time. I mean, he was taking a lot of vacations, taking it easy, sending his son over to China to pick up $1.5 billion, sending him to Ukraine where he was paid $83,000 a month and $3 million up front or something. I would tell you, why he had plenty of time. Why wouldn't he do this? This is Sleepy Joe. But now he's talking about systemic racism in the police department. Why wouldn't he have done something about it, Sean? He had all the time. So now he says, I'm going to stop. Well, he's there 43 years. He was a senator, in all fairness. That's a very big position. You could do what you want to do. But then he was vice president for 8 years. He hasn't done anything except things that were bad for the black population. Very bad. African-American population was treated very badly by Biden. He didn't know it. And he doesn't know it now, honestly, because I don't think he knows where he is.
That was the question I was asking when Jenny Durkin, day before yesterday, said, we know Seattle has to change. Jenny Durkin's been mayor for 3.5 years. Then before her, Ed Murray for 4. Mike McGinn for 4. Greg Nichols for 8. Paul Schell for 4. Norm Rice for 8. Charles Royer for 12. Wes Ullman for 8. The common denominator among all those mayors of the last 51 years in Seattle, they all have a D next to their name. And it ain't for Dory, I guarantee you that. But Jenny Durkin says, we have to change as a city. Your party has been in control of the mayor's office and every aspect of city government, commerce, everything, for way more than half a century, for my entire lifetime, from the time when I was an adorable, naked baby brought into the world at Ballard Hospital, until today, as a watchdog of all of you in Seattle. Now, but why? You say the city has to change. Why didn't you already get to wherever there is? Because they have no clue what to do, and they, too, are exploiting this crisis for their politics. Jay Inslee Press Conference, the Tom and Curly Show, It is all coming up next. God bless you amidst this craziness. See you tomorrow at high noon. Take care.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.